Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Thursday, June 21st, 2007, the only June 21st, 2007 in the history of humanity. Let's keep that in mind, shall we? So we continue down this path known as Glenn Klein Online, always trying to make the best of it. And it's politics night on the old webcast, and we're glad to have you along wherever you're logging in around the United States and all over the world, as we know that you who are all over the planet love freedom and love listening to this webcast, and we love hearing from you. And you can participate in this show tonight by emailing us at coach@glennkleinonline.com, as I am your coach for life. That's coach@glennkleinonline.com. And as I said, it's Politics Thursday tonight, and we want to welcome online the founder of the New Way Forward, from beautiful Janesville, Wisconsin, Mr. Steve Trueblood. Steve!
Great to be here.
How art thou?
I'm doing great.
That is excellent. You get a little bit of rain there in Cheeseland, I understand.
We're getting a nice thunderstorm, which we needed, so it's good.
It's all good. Steve and I have been friends for a long time, and Steve Trueblood, very active in the political system for many moons now. Why don't you give the beautiful human, Steve, a little bit of idea of what your background is personally as well as politically?
Well, politically, I have been involved in pretty much conservative Republican politics for the last 25 years, working on a lot of different campaigns, governor, U.S. Senate, Congress. About 3 years ago, I decided to run for office myself. But I ran as an independent, which really ticked off all my conservative Republican friends. But I got to the point that I was pretty much sick of both parties and the rhetoric of both parties. And ran for state assembly as an independent, got my 854 votes, including one of my own. And the next day I was feeling a little bummed out when my friend called me up and said, nobody voted for you by mistake. Everybody who wrote your name in there knew exactly what you're talking about, which made me feel better. So my political leanings have changed a little bit, and I think they've changed for the better, and that kind of was the infancy of the New Way Forward about 3 years ago, door-to-door, telling people there's got to be a better way to do politics than the way we're doing it now. So I've been away on the right side, and I'm on the center side right now.
And what was the pivotal moment in your political career that had you go from being a conservative or a right-winger, if you will, to being more towards the center?
Well, for most of my time in campaigns, I've tried to convince conservative Republican politicians how to appeal and get the vote of the center population, which is the 50% population that sways back and forth and elects people into office. And as I was doing that, I started to realize that it was really the center population that really deserved to be represented. But in our political system, it's the extremes that control the political process. That's where the money is. That's where all the activist workers are. And so I started to see that it was a little bit hollow to present viewpoints from the extreme. And I got more interested in presenting the voice of the people in the middle. And as you watched it going through the elections, you hear more and more promises of things that aren't going to be done. The people that we elect to office are no longer capable of really solving our problems. They're more of a symbol of our problems. And the more I realized it, the more I realized we needed to have a different answer. And I know it's a cliche, but we needed to have a new way forward in our nation so that we can deal with some of the pressing issues that are facing us.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Steve Trueblood, who is the founder of the aforementioned New Way Forward. And, you know, it always amazes me that the same country and that same 50%, if you will, that voted for Ronald Reagan also voted for Bill Clinton.
Right, and even in the middle of an election, you'll see something like the Tom Foley thing come to the surface, and all of a sudden that
Mark Foley.
Mark Foley.
Yeah, Tom Foley, of course, from Washington State. We're very familiar with Mark Foley here from the great state of Florida, who was a conservative Republican congressman who ends up being gay. Right. Right. And right. It just happened to coincidentally come out right before the November elections. I love that, how that works.
And you saw the people sway, and people who were entrenched basically unchallenged all of a sudden became very afraid for their jobs. And then you had John Kerry come out and make a statement, legitimately leaving out one word. And the next thing you know, that 50% will move in the other direction. And then you have, occasionally Osama bin Laden will come out with a video and you'll see the 50% move back and forth. The people in the middle are controlled by the extremes, because the extremes control the money, the activists, and the media. And the media, like a good divorce attorney, they don't really care who wins the election. They just want to see the fight take place, because that's where they make their money. The $1 billion that we're going to spend on this presidential election, they're going to walk away with the lion's share, because they do all the presentation of the arguments. They do the commercials, they do the publications, and they get all the money.
And a great guy that personifies all this is Dick Morris, who was the presidential advisor and the advisor to Governor Bill Clinton at the time of the Clinton administrations in Arkansas and in the White House. And, of course, Dick Morris also advised Trent Lott, one of the so-called most conservative senators from Mississippi. And so these guys they don't really care which side they're on. They just want to bring in the dough. And that's where, just exactly what you said, you always want to follow the money. But, Steve, you're talking about the strong middle, but I was listening to Rush Limbaugh the other day, and he said you cannot name one centrist politician who's gone down in history in this country as notable or historic. And what do you say to that argument?
Well, I think that's wrong, and I think Rush can say that because for somebody to have to sit there and disprove him, you're going to have to go through history and pick out the few people that were able to survive as a centrist. What happens to a centrist candidate when they get into the political realm is, if you want committee assignments, if you want power and prestige, you're going to have to bow to the powers to be, and if you don't bow to them, you don't get those assignments, and by not getting those assignments, you don't get the influence that you would normally get. I think back in our early history, there was a lot of centrist thinking, and I think as we've gone on through the years, that there's very few people that consider themselves as centrist. Even the ones who do have to go back to the extremes, or go back to their base, as they say, and bow down to them to get the money that they need to run for office. If you, Tommy Thompson, our former governor, said that he needed to raise $1 million just to be credible in the state of Iowa. Not even a major state, not, you know, it's one of the early ones, so they get recognition by that. But you're going to spend over $1 million just to get recognition in a state. And how do you do that? You're going to have to go back to your base. You're going to have to convince them that they need to support you in the middle of all the other ones. A centrist candidate is going to be drowned out by the media. They're going to be, when you watch Fox or CNN and you see them debate an issue, they have two people, usually as far opposite as possible, who are good screamers. You know, they can scream over each other. They can try to cut each other off. Very seldom do you see somebody get up there and talk about what the centrist viewpoint would be of gun control or immigration. You just see the arguments. And now with the immigration bill that was proposed, you're seeing exactly what I'm talking about being played out. They might have come up with what they thought was a compromise, but when they introduced it, the lobbyists, the big money came in, and they're going to shred it.
But isn't it true that, especially on the national level or statewide level, that once the primaries are over, that the candidates always run to the center?
Sure. Yeah, once they get the money that they need to run for office, once they get all the activists that they need, but it's the message that they control. They might move towards the center in some of their positions, but the whole campaign itself is being controlled by both of the extremes. And that's just mainly because that's where the money and the workers come from, and those are the people who are going door-to-door. There's a strong position, people on each side presenting their positions and using basically, and that's what I did too. You try to live vicariously through a candidate. You try to help them understand what they need to believe, and so I spent a lot of time trying to get the candidates to see what they needed to say to get that 50% of the people to sway in their direction.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Steve Trueblood, the founder of The New Way Forward. How would you define, Steve, in a nutshell for people who are listening, not just in the United States, but all over the world right now, politically, what is The New Way Forward?
The New Way Forward is pretty much a think tank made up of people. Well, let me put it this way, and I've asked people this question many, many times, hundreds of times. You're a thinking person, you got an understanding of politics. If I gave you $5 million in a 6-month deadline, and you could bring in whoever you wanted, interview whoever you want, all the different sides, build an advisory committee of all the different experts that were available, pay all of them to be a part of it, could you solve the healthcare crisis in America in 6 months? You.
Yes, I could.
Sure. It's a business issue. But because we've made it political, it's unsolvable. Because you got all these different sides spending money trying to fight it out. But when we did the Iraq Study Commission, or we did the 9/11 Commission, they did that. They brought in people, they interviewed people, and they were chastised for interviewing some of the people that they did, the leaders of Syria and Iran and different people like that. And they came up with what they thought was a common sense, compromised understanding of what we needed to do to help solve the problems in our nation, to help protect us more. So what do they do after they come up with their answer? Before it's even announced publicly, officially, the media has already got it, and they're chopping it up. They've got all the pundits and all the people arguing back and forth about all of it. And then they hand it to the politicians. And the politicians take it, and they bury what they want to bury. They do very little of the recommendations, especially the 9/11, well, both of them, the Iraq Study Commission, they do very little about what was talked about. They just let it get buried with time, and they go on. So the New Way Forward is an opportunity to take an issue and solve it, come up with a realistic solution of what we can do, and that realistic solution has to be a compromise of all the different factions that are involved in it. And then, instead of taking that issue and handing it over to the media so they can beat it into the ground and forget about it, we take it directly to the people, and we bypass the media. We bypass the lobbyists, and we take it door-to-door. We take it directly to the media where the people can hear the idea, and they can call their congressman and say, I want you to vote for this. I can tell you, when a congressman gets 500 phone calls in a week on one issue, it gets their attention. If they get 1,000, 2,000, they think the sky has fallen in. If they got 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 calls that say, we believe this is a fair compromise and we want you to support this, we would be able to convince the congressmen how to vote on these issues. They would not control us. We would control them mm-hmm. the way that it was designed to be.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with the founder of The New Way Forward, Steve Trueblood, tonight from his offices in Wisconsin. And you can, you still got time to email us your questions at coach@glennkleinonline.com. That's coach@glennkleinonline.com. Excuse me. This email, Steve, comes from Stan from Cincinnati. He wants to know what your opinion of the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform law is.
Well, first of all, let me tell you my opinion of politicians coming up with a solution for campaign finance reform. It's almost laughable. It's the proverbial fox making the rules for the hen house. There's no way that they can realistically design something that can contain the political animal. And you saw it with Graham Rudman. You see it with the other, with the McCain-Feingold. We've never heard of what a 527 group was until they started to change the rules.
Right.
And the next thing we know, there's people all over the place coming out with commercials, and now with the availability of the internet, we're going to see more and more of this independent movement where people are coming out and giving their political viewpoints, and they're able to raise money. When you raise money for a political campaign, you would be amazed how many different ways there are to circumvent the kind of rules that they put forth to try to stop it.
All right, so according to the New Way Forward, what would be your solution? What would be your compromise?
Well, the New Way Forward would probably, first of all, let me tell you this. The New Way Forward would be a group of people deciding what would be a sensible compromise. So when I give my opinion, I want to make sure that people understand The new way forward isn't necessarily based upon my opinion. I do have centrist opinions, but it isn't necessarily based upon my opinion. So what you have to do is you have to have complete disclosure. You can't have, Glenn, I literally had an envelope of checks that came from dentists from all over the state of Wisconsin that were funneled into one of my candidates. And they could not give, the PAC group could not give directly because they would have to disclose that. So all these individual dentists and whatever group you want would write checks. They would go to the PAC, and instead of cashing them, putting the bank and writing a check to the candidate, they send those checks directly through. That's a conduit. There's so many ways of circumventing it and avoiding full disclosure. If you had full disclosure where people had to come out and say, here's everybody who gave to me, and people could see who those people were, where they were from, what their political viewpoints were, who they were being supported by, it would be a lot easier to identify where the candidates really stood. And so in developing a mechanism to control the campaigns, the biggest thing is allowing the people to see the reality of what those campaigns are. They might say they're centrist, but when you look and see that 95% of their money comes from conservative or liberal groups, it's easy to see where they're really, who they're really going to support once they get in office. So full disclosure is necessary for the people in America to see where their candidates stand.
Thanks a lot, Stan, for your question. All right, let's tackle some of the most divisive issues from the New Way Forward perspective. Gay marriage.
The biggest problem in gay marriage is the word marriage. The people who support a man and plus, God said, a man plus a woman equals a marriage, will not bow to gay marriage. And so the only way it's ever going to be legislated into being is pretty much through the court system right now and a few states around the nation that will vote it in. My viewpoint is that if you take the word marriage out of it, it becomes a lot more workable. I have a partner, Mary, that we've been together 5 years now. And Mary and I pay two healthcare membership or health club memberships. We have separate insurance, and all the kind of things that we have to duplicate because we don't want to get married. Now, if we could establish a civil union, that would be completely different. A civil union like you and I, if we decide that we wanted to go into a business partnership, we could enter into a legal document that would protect our assets, that would give us some kind of a understanding of how we separate out if we decide to separate. If we would allow both gay and heterosexual couples to enter into a civil union, we could eliminate the word marriage out of it, and it would be able to deal with the reality is that these people are together. By eliminating gay marriage does not mean you're going to eliminate people living together who are either gay or heterosexual. So we need to offer them the opportunity to protect themselves legally, to make their commitment to themselves legally, and civil union is a great way of doing that.
Well, my perspective on gay marriage is that gay people should have the same right to be as miserable as the rest of us.
You betcha. You know, the other part of it, if you're really serious about the sanctity of marriage and how they view to be the foundation of America and of the American family, we ought to spend a whole lot more time dealing with the fact that 51% of marriages end up in divorce. And we ought to work hard in trying to help those people survive their marriage so that we can lower that number. And we would do a whole lot more for the sanctity of marriage by working in that direction than by trying to build fences to protect, you know, the sanctity of marriage.
It's actually 58% of all first marriages end in divorce, 70%, ladies and gentlemen, of all second marriages end in divorce, and 90% of all third marriages end in divorce. And I know that because in my divorce class, they made us go through that, so I know that.
Which is exactly why Mary and I have lived together for 5 years, because this would be our third marriage. And it's a very difficult decision. I mean, we're committed to, like, husband and wife, and, you know, we have 9 children between us. And, you know, it's just everybody on our block probably thinks that we're married because of the way we act. And not only are we, they think that, but they also think that we're very romantic, and we see a whole lot more people hugging and kissing when they go to work now since we moved in here. So, you know, those statistics just bear out exactly what it says. We need to deal with the reality of marriage instead of this facade of, you know, the sanctity of marriage that really doesn't exist.
Well, and the other thing about marriage as a an aside, you get this free, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, is that marriage has not kept up with the current mentality. When you take what now is a love relationship, back in the day, people didn't get married because they were in love. They got married out of convenience or out of an arranged situation. And when you take a love relationship and then you make a business contract out of it, it totally changes everything. But that's just free advice tonight here on Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Steve Trueblood. We're talking politics tonight. We're talking about the operation and the movement that he's founded called the New Way Forward. We're talking about compromise tonight and the large centrist movement. How do you get people who are just centrist by nature to be motivated and to have the kind of intensity that you find on the left and the right?
Well, you need to prove to them that they really are the power of America. Stanford University, in cooperation with several other universities, did a 36,000-person poll, voter-eligible poll, which is huge. They did this poll and they asked people to rate themselves between number 1, conservative Republican, number 7, liberal Democrat. 52% of the people picked 4. Not an average, but 52% picked 4. We live in a centrist nation, and if they could see the power that they have, and they would develop a mechanism for them to be able to use that power, it would be very easy to convince. The other neat thing about the New Way Forward is I've been able to sit down and talk to people who are liberal Democrats and conservative Republicans and convince them that if we don't learn how to compromise in our nation, we'll truly be a house divided against itself. The 2000 elections, just prove it out. We're not a nation of red and blue states. We're a nation of people who are centrist, who just get caught up in the political mechanism.
We're purple states, actually.
We are purple.
Don't tell.
Or a little bit lavender. But
don't tell the religious right that. They'll think we're all gay.
There you go.
For some reason, they think purple's a gay color. I don't know why.
The motto of this group is not compromising your values, but learning how to compromise with people of different values.
Mm-mm-mm.
The way it is now, the people on the extremes think that they can use the issues that they believe in to raise money, to advertise, to convince the same people on the extreme that they can actually win something. And the reality is, who wins? I mean, who wins on the immigration bill? Who wins on Medicare? Who wins on these things once they finally squeak through Congress? Maybe the pork barrel projects that get attached to all of it, maybe those people are winners. But America as a whole, we lose in the process. Our mechanism is broken, and everybody knows it, and we need to fix it. Otherwise, how are we going to have the resolve to stand as a nation in the international climate that we're in?
All right, so probably the biggest divisive issue in this country that's been ongoing since 1973, following the Supreme Court's Roe versus Wade decision, is abortion. So where's the compromise on that?
Well, I thought you were going to say Cubs versus White Sox.
Sorry.
I was all ready for that question. The compromise, well, let me tell you the reality of it. The reality is in most states, and I think in all states, a woman can have an abortion up until 9 months. Up until 9 months, you can have an abortion. So all the talk on one side is, no abortion, never, no exceptions, no embryonic cell research, nothing, because of the sanctity of that life. On the other side, there's no barrier. You can have an abortion all the way up until your baby is born. Okay? So when we look at the very issue itself, it screams out for compromise. And medicine and science help us to understand where that compromise can take place. In South Carolina, just a few months ago, a baby was born at 21 weeks of gestation and survived. So if we look at it and we say, 4.5 months, you can have an abortion for whatever reason you want, convenience, birth control, rape, incest, life of the mother, for 4.5 months. After that, there is no abortion. And the only consideration that needs to be brought into that is the legitimacy of the life of the mother, that the mother's life is in danger if she carries to full term. And even in that situation, there's many possibilities of that baby being born before full term and being offered up for adoption. We have people standing in line.
Exactly.
Saying, and $15,000,
$20,000, and still not being able to get a baby.
Right. Right.
I've got the compromise, and I thought of this during the Clinton administration. You may recall this. A guy named Tony Campolo was counseling Bill Clinton after his Monica Lewinsky situation, and I got to Tony Campolo's secretary, and I said it was like Nixon going to China. Clinton could have solved the abortion issue. It is exactly what you say. It's a matter of science and technology. Right now, we have children that can survive outside the womb, as you said, at 21 weeks. We, with government funding and with encouragement from the private sector, which of course is self-interest, self-motivation, we can get the technology to get that down to 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 14 weeks. A woman, therefore, would be able, Steve, to terminate her pregnancy without killing the life inside. And that baby goes into an incubator, just like they do now, and then the woman could have a window of opportunity. She could have 6 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it was, to decide if she wanted to have the baby herself or she wanted to give the baby up for adoption. Does that solve the problem? Am I living in a fantasy world?
No, and you know the reason that you come up with a compromise like that is because you're looking for a compromise. The extreme viewpoints in the political system become so good at arguing their viewpoint.
Plus, they make their money. They make their living keeping us divided.
You betcha.
So you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Steve Trueblood is from Wisconsin, even though he's originally from Chicago, because he says, "You betcha." That's a very Wisconsin thing.
You betcha.
All right. So, how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in getting involved in the New Way Forward? And what is the way forward for the New Way Forward?
Well, they can get in touch with me by emailing me at my name, steve@trueblood, TRUEBLOOD.com. And the future of the New Way Forward is to take this message and to spread this message around. The way that I want to do that, the way that I plan on doing that, is to go through the universities. I spoke to a political science class, probably 70 students last May, end of April, early May. And it was my alma mater, the UW Rock County campus. And I went and I spoke to that group, and at least 70% of them agreed with what I was saying. Some of them wanted to argue the extremes. And I told them right in front of all those people, that's exactly what happens in the political system. You can argue the extremes because that's what gets the attention. But the reality is people in the middle will seek compromise. And by it's almost like binding arbitration. You're coming up with a group of people to review every aspect of an issue and to come out with a solution for that issue and then to present it to the people so the people can present it to the politicians. Let me give you one example of the power of this. Joan Boyd, Wes Blades, two Silicon Valley entrepreneurs, maybe sitting at lunch, I don't know, but just got fed up with the Clinton hearings. All the money being spent, I think of the right word here, on air, but all the stuff that we put up with during that era, trying to run him out of office, and it wasn't going to work. And so they got tired of it, and they put an online petition on that said, why don't we just censor the president for lying and move on to more important issues facing our nation? 2 days it was on the web, and they had over 100,000 signatures, which caught the attention of movie producer Michael Moore and financier George Soros. Obviously, they were on the left side of the political spectrum. But now we know that as MoveOn.org, which has 3.5 million members, and last election cycle they made 6.5 million phone calls. That's a powerful movement, and that's on the extreme. You can imagine what you could do in the center if you could encourage those people, educate those people, grab their opinions.
And activate them.
Right. So the New Way Forward is in its infancy. And so what I'm going to do in the fall is go campus to campus to campus and to tell the young people, the young generation of America, this is your responsibility to speak out and to make a difference because the generations above you are not doing it.
All right. Well, there's your email address, ladies and gentlemen, steve@trueblood.com, just like it sounds, steve@trueblood.com. We're going to have to do this again. This is good stuff.
I enjoy it. Always enjoy talking to you.
Thanks for your time, bro.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you for listening and participating, as always, and want to thank Patrick L. Jones for engineering and producing this webcast. So until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!